heaven because I believe that the Bible is God's holy word, that Jesus who lived among men long ago is divine and the Christ of God. Old-fashioned because I believe and accept only what has been spoken from Him. Old-fashioned because at the cross I was saved, at the cross had my sin forgiven. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. Old-fashioned because I am bound to do right, to walk in the straight, narrow way. Because I have given my whole life to God, old-fashioned because I pray. Old-fashioned because I am looking above to Jesus, my glorified Lord. Because I believe He is coming again, fulfilling His holy word. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. Through the blood that makes whiter than snow.
Thank you, Brother Rayleigh. God bless you. Open your Bibles tonight now to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And once you find that, turn over, if you will, to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Let me revise something I said earlier. This is the last service that Brother Ward will be with us Wednesday night. He's got a meeting in another church. And then Friday he'll be flying out. So make sure you get by tonight and say goodbye for a while to Brother Ward, and let him know that you'll pray for him. We want God to use him and bless him and let him know that we are supportive of what he's going to be doing there as a missionary helper. And Brother, I talked to Brother Leslie this week, and he is excited about him getting there, and said, would you see if he can't get a day or two earlier flight? You pray for him as he leaves and takes that journey and begins that new phase of life and ministry. Stand now out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 13. The Bible says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius and of Cyrene, Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into or unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, and they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, and which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, now I want you to listen to this. Modern day church members would have said he is in the flesh, but the Bible clearly says he is filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost, he set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety, all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrines of the Lord. And when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. We'll leave off reading there, but I want you to notice two verses. First of all, verse number 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. John Mark volunteered to go with them and be a helper. Now look at verse number 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. So the volunteer unvolunteered. Another word for it is he quit. All right, look in chapter 15 now, and verse number 36. And some days after, that's after Paul and Barnabas had been to Jerusalem and reported to the church there at Jerusalem and to the apostles and what God had done with the conversion of the Gentiles, and dealt with them a fact that Gentiles were getting saved by believing on Jesus Christ. Some of those Jews wanted them to be circumcised and keep the law, and they had to come to some conclusion. Were these Jews or Gentiles really saved, or were they not? And they came to the conclusion that they were saved just like Jews were saved, by faith in Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing. And they were sent back to encourage the Gentile saints and establish churches for the Lord Jesus Christ. And some days after that, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between Paul and Barnabas that they departed asunder, one from the other. So Barnabas took John Mark and sailed to Cyprus. You say, oh, he was going on a mission trip. No, Cyprus was his home. Barnabas was from Cyprus. Go back over in chapter 4, and I think you'll find Barnabas having land in Cyprus, sold it and brought the money and gave it to the church. He had property there. He lived there. That was home. And he went back there. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, the only other time after Barnabas took John Mark and left that Barnabas is mentioned in the Scripture after this is in Galatians chapter 2, when Paul is writing and referring to the time he and Barnabas went down to Jerusalem after their first missionary journey. We do not know anything else in Scripture about Barnabas and his ministry after this dispute over John Mark. And I want us to look at that. Barnabas determined to take with him John Mark, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And that was the contention. The problem between Barnabas and Saul was over a quitter, John Mark. Young man who started out and quit. I want to speak to you today for a little while on this subject, the dangers and results of quitting. The dangers and results of quitting. Father, help me now as I bring this message. I want to be honest and fair to the Scripture and fair to Barnabas and to the Word of God and how you deal with this. But I want to get across the danger of quitting and the terrible effect it has upon others, even though one day the quitter might get right and come back. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name, and help us to learn this lesson, the dangers and the results of quitting. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. In 46 years of preaching the gospel, I've witnessed a great number of people who started out in Christian service only to give up and quit like John Mark did after a short time. So much of the ministry is filled with the extra effort and training necessary to replace all the quitters. The church is physically crippled because of workers called by God and placed in service for God who give up and give over to the world and to the flesh and quit. I have known many who gave up and who gave in to the world, the flesh, and the devil. I've got to be honest, I know a few who have given out in service for the Lord. And I know of less who've worn out for God. Not many Christians can say I've worn out. Some say they're burnt out, but there's no such thing in Scripture as spiritual burnout. Burnout's the result of trying to do a spiritual work in the energy of the flesh without the Holy Spirit's power and without God. John Mark was a Jewish boy with a godly mother. They served in the church at Jerusalem. His mother's brother, John Mark's uncle, was Barnabas. Barnabas served in the church at Antioch with those that we mentioned earlier in Scripture. Now, when God called Saul and Barnabas to go as missionaries to the Gentile world, John Mark volunteered to go with them. Most volunteers in the ministry don't last long. You see, one needs a call of God written on their heart if they're going to be long-timers in service for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter what that service is. Whether it be a teacher or a Sunday school worker or a bus worker, a driver of a bus, an usher, or whatever, a pastor, a missionary, volunteers, fine. But those that volunteer find it easy to unvolunteer. And I'll be honest with you, over these years, if I did not have a call of God over on my heart and life, I'd have quit 1,000 times. But I can't quit and be right with God. And so I don't think about quitting. I sometimes got to be honest, I think about killing. I'm joking about that, folks. Don't take it literally. I don't know how long John Mark lasted, but it wasn't even a year. He lasted only 9 verses in the Scripture before he quit. He didn't even make it through 1 chapter. First little conflict, he had had enough. No wonder God's Word warns us about giving authority and position to a novice. It so easily goes to their head, and the result is a fall, or they quit. For a few minutes tonight, I want us to think about the dangers and the results of quitting. First of all, one is in the danger of quitting when he never makes total surrender to God's will. John Mark found it easy to quit because he hadn't totally surrendered. He was just a volunteer. There had not been that total commitment necessary for God's work. Remember when God called Elisha? Elisha was plowing 12 yoke of oxen. Elisha made such a commitment to God that he killed the oxen and burnt the plows and offered the oxen as a sacrifice to God. He had nothing to go back to. Live, die, sink, or swim, he had to serve God. I love the story about a small army sailing to an island that had been overtaken, their island, by another group. The small army was outnumbered 7 or 8 to 1. They came up to the island in a ship, and the captain disembarked the men from the ship. They got out, got on the land, and the captain ordered, burn the ship. They set the thing on fire. And he said to his men, we're outnumbered 7 to 1. We have no way of escape. If we don't win this victory, we're going to die. They won the victory because they burnt their boats. They burnt their ships. Simon Peter was called to be a fisher of men, but he never gave up his fishing boat. He didn't burn his boat. He had it in dry dock in case it don't work out. That's like a lot of Bible college students and a lot of preacher boys. They start out for God, but they don't ever really make total surrender. And if it doesn't work out quite like they think that it ought to work out, then they got something to fall back on. The danger of quitting. One is always in danger of quitting when he does not make total surrender. Obeying God's will to teach a Sunday school class or be a bus captain or a bus driver or a children's church worker or a choir member or in evangelism or a missionary or whatever it is in Christian service requires a total surrender of our life to God. We spend so much time looking for new workers, new drivers, new choir members, special singing groups, because people are willing to serve as long as it doesn't cost them anything, as long as it doesn't require extra effort, as long as they don't have to sacrifice, as long as they can do it their way when they want to. One does not make that surrender to God, he's always in danger of quitting. There's no way I can quit and be right with God. I know that. I've got to serve God. I've got to serve God. Oh, I may retire from the pastorate here in a few months, but I'm not quitting. I'm going to keep on serving God, and I'm going to keep on preaching the gospel. I'm going to continue to do what God has called me to do because I've made that surrender to Him. My life is not my own. I serve Him with my energy, the energy I have. You know, I still love the Lord's work and still love the Lord's people, still love to study, still love to preach, still hate to counsel. I just don't have the energy that's necessary to do everything that I used to do. But I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep biting the devil until my teeth wore down, and then I'm going to gum him. When my gums are sore, I'm going to spit at him. Why? Because I made a surrender of my life to God's will. Matthew 16, 14, Mark 8, 34, Luke 9, 23, all say the same thing. And Jesus said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's talking about total surrender. When you get off of the cross, you don't have anything left. Secondly, when one quits the first time, he's always in danger of quitting again. Quitting becomes habit forming. If you don't want to become a quitter, don't quit the first time. Most of the time, Christians quit while God is trying to teach them and prepare them for greater service. Most of the time, they misunderstand the pressure and the resistance. They're ignorant of the way of God, and they think it's opposition by the people or the attack of Satan, when God is just trying to grow them and strengthen them and build them for the Lord's work. Instead of allowing God to use the pressure and the resistance to strengthen them in the Lord, so they can become a greater servant and of greater value, a greater usefulness, and have a more productive ministry, they quit. Instead of understanding that untaught and untrained people don't know how to follow and when to follow, instead of giving the time to train them, they quit. They give up. The quitters look for another place of service. But guess what? It's not long until they quit again. God will just keep on bringing them back to the same pressure and the same resistance until they either get right and pass that test or they just keep on quitting. One's in danger of quitting when he doesn't make that total surrender. One is, when one quits the first time, he's in danger of quitting again. If we're not careful, quitting becomes habit forming. One will go on quitting until it becomes a way of life. I know people that are labeled quitters. Nobody wants them. Nobody will depend on them because they're always quitting. I know some preachers that won't last a year and a half, and they quit. No health problems, just the pressure. And they come to that place where nobody wants them because nobody can trust them. They're quitters. Beware when your service becomes a dread instead of a joy. Beware of quitting that first time. What if people are really against you and the leadership of God in your life? What do? You just keep on. You don't quit. You pray to God. You pray God will deal with them according to His will and His purpose. And you just keep on. But you don't quit. You don't quit. And thirdly, when one quits, it always hurts others. Even godly people are affected when people quit. Look at Paul and Barnabas. Now, let me tell you, Paul and Barnabas were two good men. They were godly men. They were good Christians. But godly men were divided as a direct result of John Mark quitting. Paul thought the work too important to trust it again to a quitter. A quitter that had not proved himself. Let me tell you, when you quit, next time you better be very careful and make sure you prove yourself faithful or nobody will want to trust you. A quitter must prove himself again. You know, that's like your children. You give your children more leeway as they get older and you give them more trust. And when they break that trust, they don't understand they've got to earn that trust again. You don't just treat them like nothing ever happened. You know, if a kid gets on dope and steals money from daddy's wallet at night and you catch him, he ought not be trusted. And he's got to earn that trust back before he's trusted again. Well, quitters are the same way. When a person quits, they shouldn't expect to come back and take the same position and be trusted. They've got to earn that trust back. And the important thing is that we never quit. When one quits, it hurts others. Even godly people are affected. When Peter quit and went back to the fishing business, he took six other people with him. Six others. Read it in John. If one will study the life of Barnabas, you'll find out that Barnabas was an outstanding Christian. He was a great giver. He was unselfish. He was a good man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in Acts 11. He was a compassionate man and a hardworking man. When everybody else didn't trust this young convert Saul, they didn't believe it was real, Barnabas saw that it was real and took him under his arm and helped him and encouraged him. Barnabas was a good man. He was a compassionate man. He was a hardworking man. When God called him out to be a missionary, he gladly surrendered to the call of God. He was very influential. You can read about it in Acts chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. But after this problem about John Mark, the quitter, his ministry never really shows up again. He's referred to by the Apostle Paul, but always about his previous ministry before this occurrence. There's no record in Scripture of Barnabas after this. I often wonder what happened. Paul dealt with it and went on. Did Barnabas get angry and refuse to forgive? Did he think he was unfairly treated? What was the problem? I don't know what the problem was, but I want you to know, a young man quitting hurt the cause of Christ and influenced two good, godly men. Others are always hurt when a Christian quits. You think about it when you start to quit. Somebody's going to be affected by it. Somebody's going to be hurt in the cause of Christ. Whether they're hurt spiritually or individually, their spirit is hurt, or maybe they're hindered from the Lord's work because they saw a good person quit. Others are always hurt when a Christian quits. Fourthly, when one quits, many years are often wasted before he serves again, if he ever serves again. John Mark quit, and I don't know if Barnabas ever served again. Between the time John Mark quit in Acts 13, it was 12 years later before Mark appears again with Paul in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. And about 16 years that Paul told Timothy to bring Mark because he is profitable to him in the ministry, 2 Timothy 4:11. Many years of Christian service was hindered and perhaps wasted. I wonder how many souls could have been reached and were not because a man quit. For 11 years, he quit. When one quits, many years are often wasted before he serves again. I've got one more point and a conclusion. Because God is a gracious God of second chances, when we fall back, let's determine to make a comeback. To John Mark's credit, though he quit, though he wasted some years, John Mark made a comeback. I don't know, perhaps, I hope it's true. I don't know it is, but perhaps the rest of Barnabas' ministry was given to help restore the quitter. I hope that's true. Thank God for those who will pick up the fallen. There's many. Christianity is full of quitters. I want you to know a ministry to helping restore quitters would be a full-time ministry for someone. And by the way, it's a spiritual ministry. Bible says that ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Talking about restoring the fallen. Thank God for those who will pick up the fallen and pick up the quitter and help get him back to the place where God can use him again. Somebody had to put some effort in John Mark's life. And John Mark made a comeback. Yes, he fell back, but he made a comeback. He came back because of God's grace and somebody helping him. And Paul could write, "Bring Mark because he is profitable to me for the ministry." He'd proven himself. He'd gotten over quitting. And there's no record of John Mark ever quitting again. Like Peter got over his quitting in John chapter 21 and never quit again. When a quitter gets right and desires to make a comeback, Christians must forgive him. Paul had to. Paul had ought against him. He quit. And Paul said, I'm not going to take him to the work. He left the work. He was adamant about it. The Bible says the friction between him and Barnabas over John Mark was strong contention. But when John Mark got right, proved himself and made that comeback, Paul had to forgive him and say, send him to me. He's profitable for the ministry. Hey, by the way, who is it you know that stumbled and fallen or quit and tried to make a comeback and you haven't forgiven them? Now, I didn't say you had to trust them full time, but you've got to forgive them. They've got to earn that trust back. They've got to prove themselves. But we've got to forgive. No, I'm not going to forgive them. They quit. I'm not going to trust them anymore. Let them go somewhere else. Let them quit somewhere else. Christians must forgive the quitter that gets right and makes a comeback. Or then you're the problem, not that person. Paul said of him, he said, I'm not going to take him to the work. He's a quitter. But after these years, Paul writes and says, now he's profitable for the ministry. Profitable. He had made a comeback. The Holy Ghost used a quitter that had gotten right and refused to quit again, to write the second of our gospel. The Gospel of Mark was written by John Mark, the quitter, who got right, made a comeback, and God trusted him to write the gospel that portrays Jesus as the suffering servant. The color of Mark's gospel is red because it paints Jesus as the one who suffered and bled for us that we might have life everlasting. Every time I read it, I'm reminded this old boy at one time was a quitter. Somebody had to invest something in him to encourage him, to love him, to teach him, to help him to get back to the place where he'd never quit again. So much so that Paul said he's forgiven and he's profitable for the work. Send him to me. So much so that God said, son, I want to trust you to write one of four gospels that'll make up the gospels in my holy word. I want you to write about Jesus, the suffering servant. John Mark, the quitter that got right and made a comeback. Yes, it's best never to quit. Don't even think about it. Die before you quit. I'd rather die in the work than quit. I'd rather die in the battle than turn tail and run. But if you do quit, get right. Something in your life caused you to coward, caused you to quit, caused you to give up. Get right about it. Get right with God and make a comeback. God can still use even a quitter who's gotten right and made a comeback for God. Now let me give you the main points once again. One is always in danger of quitting when he never makes that total surrender to God's will. When one quits the first time, he's in danger of quitting again. It can become habit forming. Thirdly, when one quits, it hurts others. Even godly people are affected. Paul and Barnabas were. Fourthly, when one quits, many years are often wasted before he ever serves again, if he serves again. Fifthly, because God is a gracious God of second chances, when we quit and fall back, let's determine to make a comeback, because God will forgive us and use us once again beyond anything we've ever thought or imagined or dreamed. If we'll get over the quitting and get right about quitting and come all the way back to a surrendered, yielded life to the Savior. Father, that's our message tonight. Help us to take it to heart. Help us to make it real in our life. How many times we start out and we give up. I wonder how many people in here, Lord, who started out serving you and then quit. And in reality are doing nothing now. Oh, they had a little difficulty, they had a little struggle. But instead of looking at those struggles as an opportunity to grow stronger and trust God and pass that test, they quit. Some quit because they fell into sin. God, you know our hearts. You know why we ought to be at this altar tonight, totally surrendering ourselves to Thee, or getting right about quitting, or forgiving someone who has quit and have tried to make a comeback, or praying for someone that's quit. And we want to be that person that invests in their life, helping to restore them to the place of service. Speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. You know who we are and what our needs are. Help us not to be so foolish as to say, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to yield to the voice of the Holy Spirit who's speaking to my heart right now. I'm the quitter, and worse than that, I'm going to say no to him when he speaks to my heart. Oh God in heaven, would you speak to us tonight? We know, Heavenly Father, this message is not popular, and we know the devil's going to do everything he can to distract in this invitation. What a terrible thing to be used of the devil to distract during an invitation. God, would you please help us to listen to your voice and begin that journey making a comeback, getting right, and starting out again, trying to learn how to serve Jesus and keep on trying until we're successful for Christ's sake. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name.